Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last hour of Overnight America before the weekend officially starts. Got a couple of text messages in here. Text message. I have a question about Uncle Joe's political comment. Where are they reaching to pull his hairy legs? Yeah, why? It's kind of weird, right? Oh, the kids are coming in, pulling my leg hairs again. Yeah, that's not a thing. Another person, I think his name is Rick, texted in. Big fan of the show, listens all the time, and sometimes gets a little bit too afraid to call in. So, Rick, thank you for listening. We got, here's another text message. It said, December 7th, besides Pearl Harbor Day, is the birthday of past star Gary Unger of the St. Louis Blues. He will be 72. Detroit Red Wings traded him to the Blues in 71. Bad trade for Detroit, great for St. Louis. Kind of parallels you from the Red Wings now to the Blues. Well, the Red Wings are still my number one, even though they're terrible the last couple of years. But all those great memories I had growing up in Detroit, that was my home team, man. You know, when you turn on the TV and you watch the Wings every night and you listen to them on the radio and you follow them for all those years, you don't just stop doing that when you move out. But yeah, I still like the Blues, and I'm very happy the Blues won. Even growing up, I liked the Blues. I never really saw it much as a division rivalry. I loved Grand Fuhr, and it was, I got excited every time the Blues and the Wings played, so I had fun with it. So moving here, you know, somewhat natural. I don't have a problem, and I like rooting for the Blues. They're just not my number one. So it's funny how you bring that up from Detroit to St. Louis. No one's on the line right now, so you know what that means.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
It doesn't get any less weird the more I hear it. Joe Biden. So last hour of the show, if there's anything you want to bring up, talk about. If we can get some phone lines lit up here, that would be nice. If we can get some people on the line so we can distract me from talking politics. Just please, anything other than politics. Here's a story from Market Watch, and it was pretty cool. The road to riches is simple. Drive a lousy car. This is what Jared Dillian writes for Market Watch. Said, saw one of my smart friends posted an article about an excellent Toronto Raptors basketball player who, despite making nearly $100 million, still drives a 20-year-old beater SUV. Good for that guy. He says if it runs and it's paid off, you do it. Says there's nothing better than a paid-off car. There's no monthly payment, and most of the depreciation has already occurred. You are driving for free. Ain't that the truth? When you talk about the situation of vehicles, and people have a lot of pride, they love putting I think they like the idea of a new vehicle more than they like the money they're about to pay for it. People get infatuated by the idea of getting a Tesla. Oh, it's shiny and it's new and oh, and this and that. And they try to justify, oh, it's going to save me money in the long run, which isn't really all that true right now. Maybe, but not really. when you have to buy a new battery on that thing in about 7 years, you're not going to be saving anything because those are also very expensive. But you buy a beater car that you like. I don't have a problem with it. I kind of feel that cars from the 90s are going to make a comeback. You know, old classic 90s cars and all of their flaws. It was right on the border of if you you may not have had electric windows. You may have still had to crank these things. It may have been an ugly color. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I think that people are going to start going back to those old 90 throwbacks cars just because they always love the retro things. And it's going to be cheap. And, you know, here in Missouri and St. Louis, if you're going to do things on the up and up, at least you're going to be paying your personal property taxes and it's going to be cheap. You're going to be able to afford it. Yeah, it's going to have some mechanical issues with it, but sure, just like anything else. But man, there's some special feeling in having everything paid off, and there's a special feeling in knowing you're driving around in something you don't have to make a monthly payment for. And if something happens to it, it's a cheap beater car. You don't have to lose any sleep over it at the end of the night. So the person goes on and he writes even more. He says, being frugal is seldom seen in the NBA, anywhere in professional sports for that matter. He said he had a friend who played college hoops and made it to the NBA. And he said players would buy a new suit every day they were on the road. They were spending about $100,000 a year on new suits. They would buy it and toss it. He said, in personal finance stories, I tried to give people an idea of a little perspective. $3 on coffee every day is a luxury you can afford, but people seem to have an easier time giving up large luxuries than small luxuries. So they say if you can give up a large one, the easiest way to save money hands down is drive a lousy car. Warren Buffett would say the same thing. He's all about that. He said, where else can you set $40,000 on fire? You know, you buy a $50,000 car, and then in 7 years, if it's worth $10,000, you're lucky. The takeaway here is that your financial well-being is not a product of a million small decisions. It could be the product of two or three large decisions. Drive a beater. That's the way you should do it. If you want to be financially stable, drive a beater. 314-436-7900. Ameren, Illinois, did a PSA about power lines. We're either going to talk about that or I'm playing more Joe Biden when we get back. If no one's on the line, please distract me from politics. Please, please, please. It's Overnight America, KMOX. All right, let's see. Do we have to play Joe Biden again? No, we don't. All right. Good news. Donna was calling in from Festus. Hello, Donna.
Hi. Did you have a wonderful Thanksgiving?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the eating portion of it, and I had a little bit of a rough start. I had a cold at the start of it, and I thought, oh, please don't let this disrupt any of the eating process, and it did not, so that was good news.
Hopefully not make anybody else sick.
Oh, I wasn't too concerned about that. I was mostly concerned about myself. That's it. Very selfish around Thanksgiving. That's all I care about is myself eating.
Well, we all love Thanksgiving. When I was having it all these years, I didn't love it quite as much because when you're putting it on and you're a woman and you really aren't that good of a cook, you depend on everybody else.
So are you saying that you were nervous that you were cooking a meal that people wouldn't enjoy?
It's not that I really stink as a cook. My husband makes the turkey.
Okay.
My family brings everything. I just clean the house.
Oh, so you don't participate in that at all?
No, I just want them to get out of my way when it's time to do the dishes, and I'll clean everything up, and I'll clean everything up before they come.
But I understand. Okay.
But anyway, I was going to mention the old cars, because I don't like electric stuff. I don't like electric windows. I don't like all the electric stuff because I'm afraid it'll break. And my old cars, because I was M70, they had the floor vents and the window vents and the crank windows. And I love that. And if you could get a new car that did all that, I'd love it way better than the cars that have all this electric stuff that can all of a sudden quit working on you.
Yeah, you know what I like that the Fords have? And I'm so glad that they do this on some of their newer vehicles. And it's one of those little stupid things. But the little locks that are the little, they almost look like little Tic Tacs, but they pop up and down when you lock and unlock a car.
Yeah, I like that, too.
No, not a lot of cars do that. In fact, I thought it was long gone until I saw the Ford started doing them again.
I think you're right. I think some people will decide it's gone overboard. You know, everything's just gotten too technical, and I don't even know how mechanics can work on it anymore. And I just like it simple, but probably it won't go back to that simple. Mm.
Are you a car person, Donna?
Oh, well, not really. I like the 60s cars. I like the Corvettes and 64, 66, like normal people do, but not. my sons are crazy car people.
Are they?
And I wanted to ask a dog question.
Oh, sure.
Well, I have. As I know, you had a pit bull that you loved, and, and you'd lost him. But my son got a pit bull that was, no, it was, the mama was a pit bull that was very sweet, and the daddy was a lab that was very sweet, and he's had it since it was 6 weeks old, and it's wonderful with the family. It's wonderful, but we can't make it socialize with neighbors. I have to keep him during the day, and I don't have a fence, so I have to put him on a cable.
Okay.
And if someone walks by, I tried to have them, you know, give him a biscuit or give him some bread. Doesn't matter. The things that he loves, he doesn't love it if it's somebody that's coming by.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he doesn't love it if it's somebody on. One day, we have those, you know, those real strong collars, but they come with those heavy-duty plastic clips.
Uh-huh.
My husband was getting out of the car just at the same time that a bike was coming by, and he was out on the cable. I just put him out on the cable, and he flew to that bike, that big collar with the plastic clip. The plastic clip busted, and down the road he went after the bike.
Couldn't hold
him back. He was pedaling really fast.
How old is the dog now?
He's about 16 months.
Oh, okay, so still pretty young. What about other dogs? How does he do with other dogs?
They go on slow trips, and he does fine. When it's with the group, with my son, he does fine. He really hates being on a cable, I think. I don't think he likes that feeling that he can't, I guess, protect you. I'm not sure. He's sweet as he can be with us. I mean, the kids can do anything to him. The cats can do anything to him. But it worries me that he has this super... I mean, you try to pet him, anybody, any nice, obviously nice person that I'm talking to and trying to convince that, you know, this is my friend, this is my neighbor, he'll be there with his hair all standing up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a certain protection thing. Some dogs have that. I don't know how to break that. I think, man, did we talk about that on the show once? I want to say that's come up as a topic on the show before. It's been a long time.
But yours was a sweetheart, right, day one.
Yeah, he was good day one. He just wasn't, he was 50-50 on other dogs. So some dogs he was good with and other dogs he wasn't good with. Just didn't get along with them. So,
but
like,
you don't know what his background was.
His background was terrible. Yeah, he was super abused. So he did not, I don't know if it was just male dogs he was bad with and female dogs he was good with, but either way. He had a terrible, terrible background. When we adopted him, we knew that he was going, he would have some issues, but he was great with us. I mean, I loved him to death. Man, he was great.
I wish you'd get another puppy. I think you'd be happy if you did.
Oh, I did. I ended up adopting another dog.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. What does little Emmett think?
He loves it. He plays with her all the time. She's a playful dog and much more playful than our older dog. You know, when you get up to a certain age, playing is in short spurts. But this dog wants to play a lot.
And is the puppy tolerant of the little one?
Oh, yeah. She goes crazy. She loves it. Super good. Super friendly dog. Yeah, we love her. And she's been a great addition. And when I get back to the house later tonight, she'll be there waiting for me, waiting to get a little bit of rubbing, and then go right back to bed. She's let's go to bed early type of dog. She just likes to sleep. And I think it's because, you know, when you get conditioned in a shelter, they turn the lights off and go home for the night. They kind of go to bed early and sleep all night. So she's kind of in that mood still.
I'm so glad you got a shelter dog. I mean, they're so grateful.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they're so grateful.
I know. All right, Donna, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. No one else lined up after Donna, so you know what that means. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down. So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. they'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Duh.
And I tell you what.
You know, I got something good here. I played this earlier in the show, and I thought maybe we'll play it again. And if you missed any of the show, you can go to KMOX.com/ONA. In the first hour, we had author Nini Harris, N-I-N-I, Nini Harris, who wrote a book called Downtown St. Louis. It's in its second edition. She's got another book signing coming up this Saturday. And we spent a full hour talking about some of the beautiful buildings in downtown St. Louis and some of the history involved with it. And she knows so much about the history. It was a real fascinating hour. It's worth your time to go back and listen to it at KMOX.com/ONA. But after that, I played something from earlier tonight. And if you didn't listen to it, at 8 o'clock, KMOX aired the Jack Buck Awards. The Jack Buck Awards, a great tradition, something that Jack was involved with, the Missouri Athletic Club. Tom Ackerman has been the host of it the last couple of years, at least as far as I can remember. And every year he does such a great job. And this year they put together a little tribute to Jack Buck. They wanted to get some of his moments from this awards ceremony from over the years to showcase his personality and just his namesake. And when they played that, that was the most enjoyable moment of the entire night for me. I didn't get a chance to listen to all of it, but just hearing that one part, I thought it was so great. And if you missed it from earlier, they're going to replay it this weekend, from what I understand. But I wanted to play at least this one part from you. And if you like this part, you're going to want to hear the whole thing. Here's Tom Ackerman setting it up from earlier tonight at the Jack Buck Awards.
I thought it was appropriate to play an audio clip that is a lot of fun. We put this together at KMOX. This is a little run through some of Jack's best from the banquet, along with some reflections. This, in 2002, became the Jack Buck Sports Awards, and rightfully so. Take a listen.
I'd like to introduce to you tonight a Hall of Fame broadcaster, an All-American Master of Ceremonies, and the pride of the Missouri Athletic Club, Mr. Jack Buck.
I know for a fact, without asking, that Yogi Berra, the Hall of Famer, and Joe Garagiola, honored numerous times throughout his wonderful career, are not that thrilled about the Jack Buck Award. But I submit to Joe in particular that it's better than the Harry Carey Award. I was listening to Harry this summer, and he said, "Here's the pitch. He struck him out. No, it's a line drive to third base. The throw to second." And his partner said, "No, Harry, he did strike him out. They're just..." "They're just throwing the ball around the infield, Harry."
I'd like to tell the radio audience for the first time that after this dinner, we have a boxing program here at the Missouri Athletic Club. We have six fights, and so for the ladies at home, you can expect your husband about 2:30, I suppose. Between 2 and 2:30. And for the moment, would you cut the radio mic? Thank you. Is it cut? The bus leaves for the Casino Queen at 10:15. And the bus leaves for PT's at 10:30. You can open the mic again. All right. Okay, thank you. Two fellas were sitting in a bar in New York. One said to the other, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Ireland." He said, "I am too. Where are you from?" "In Ireland." He said, "I'm from Dublin." He said, "I'm from Dublin." He said, "Where'd you go to school?" He said, "St. Joseph." He said, "That's my alma mater. I went to St. Joseph High School." "And where did you live?" He said, "I lived in the Hamden area." He said, "That's where I grew up." Just then another fellow walked into the bar and said to the bartender, "Hi, Harry, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, nothing." He said, "All the O'Brien twins are here, drunk out of their mind again."
Jack's honor of this event, tonight's event, will henceforth be known as the MAC's Jack Buck Sports Award, replacing the title of Sports Personality of the Year dinner. We can't think of a better way to permanently link Jack's name to an event he loved and did so much for.
It is the last time that he stood up in front of a St. Louis crowd here at the Missouri Athletic Club. But when you think about it, and I was thinking about it on my way down here, that when he left the stage here that night, basically 1 year ago, he walked off the stage in front of all of us. And I can tell you, I lost my best friend, but I know a lot of people in the audience, whether it's here at the Missouri Athletic Club or listening on KMOX, they feel like they lost their best friend as well. He made this dinner what it was.
I'm so glad Tom Ackerman put that together. What a fantastic little piece for Jack Buck and his namesake for the awards that happened earlier tonight. 314-436-7900. We're going to get to the weather. We're going to talk to AccuWeather and get an update. Ask them about the next couple of weeks. It looks like it's going to be really cold, so enjoy the warm weather while you can, at least what's left of it. And if no one's on the line by the time we get back, you better believe you're hearing Joe Biden again. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America. Earlier tonight, we had an opportunity to hook up with AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy. And I enjoy those times we have together. I really do. So I was looking at the forecast and out, and it looks pretty nice. Saturday, 50 degrees. Sunday, 57 degrees. Monday, 58 degrees. Whoa, are the good times going to last forever? Not so much. I wanted to let you know that don't get too excited. I always expect the worst. I feel I may be cynical thanks to politics in general, but when I was looking at the forecast for next week, just out of curiosity, you know, it's a nice weekend. We've got some temperatures in the 50s on, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, upper 50s by Sunday and Monday. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I wonder what it's going to look like next week. Is it going to stay in the 50s? It drops right off. So I gave a call to AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy. Thanks for hopping on with us tonight on Overnight America.
Always my pleasure.
So next week, starting on Tuesday, it's going to get chilly. It looks like it's going to be in the 30s there for a while. Is it? This is the cynical side of me. I said, well, there we go. No longer are we going to have temperatures above 50 for the rest of the year, or at least until next summer. Are we pretty much at that point where we're just expecting freezing from here on out?
Well, it won't be. The 50s may struggle on occasion. I still think we'll get there every now and then, of course.
Okay.
But it's going to be a lot tougher as we move through the rest of the season. Of course, we've hit meteorological winter, which is generally known as December, January, February, the three coldest months of the year. But we still have some temperate zones to the south that could bring some milder conditions at times.
I see.
So even next week, we might pop up into the 40s, even with a little rain. So, but yeah, we do have a couple of cold days in the meantime too.
Do meteorologists, generally speaking, they have to be optimistic about these things? Because I feel like you're being pretty optimistic.
I'm always optimistic. It depends on the person. I think it's a personality, not necessarily a meteorologist.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so when you look at what's going down, because I look at the extended forecast and you're coming up towards Christmas or whatever it is, you really think outside of this weekend there's a chance that we hit 50 again before the end of the year?
I do think there's a chance.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So how big of a chance are we talking?
I think it's still probably pretty low. I would say it's 20%.
Okay, so it's a low chance.
Yeah. There's a chance. Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance. It's almost like saying, what are the chances that the Lions win this weekend? The Detroit Lions. They're like 20% at best.
I hope it's less than that because I'm a Vikings fan.
Are they playing Vikings this weekend?
I do believe so, yes.
All right. So really, till the end of the year, you said we're in this technically, what do you call it, meteorologist winter or something like that?
Meteorological winter, yeah. There's an astronomical, meteorological, and a solar, if you prefer.
I see. But what about the farmer's winter? Is that farmer's almanac winter? That's not in the class of
the meteorological winter runs from December 21st approximately to March 21st.
Oh, okay. All right, so really towards the end of the year, even though the chances are low, we could see temperatures back into what we're experiencing in the next couple of days, but don't bet your house on it by any means.
No. I mean, some of the long-range forecasts I'm looking at even right now suggest it gets close to, 50s, 47-48 toward the weekend before Christmas. So
honestly, it looks like it's going to be fairly dry the next couple of weeks, too. It doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of rain threatening this area.
No, it looks, very, at least on the lighter side of things, for sure.
Yeah. What are there any threats for this area? I mean, is there El somethings that could be hitting us, El Ninos, El Ninas, anything like that?
That generally sets up a weather type pattern, and that is not particularly strong in one direction or another that I'm aware of at this time. So I don't. I'll hedge my little voice there a little bit. I haven't checked up on the latest data, but
yeah.
I think we're pretty neutral, so it's not setting up any. You know, it usually sets up a pattern and not necessarily account for a singular or multiple events. You know.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on Canada too because we know they always like to ship down their cold temperatures. I'm not a big fan of that. Just in general, I mean, is there any surprises left for the end of the year? Or are we going to have a pretty uneventful December?
Well, it's always hard to get past, you know, once you get past a week of the challenges of the chaotic weather patterns tend to become more challenging to forecast. So I won't promise anything, one thing, you know, that we won't have something toward the end of the year. It's still, what, 26 days away?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're almost in 2020. That's
yes, indeed.
Else. It's hard to believe that it really is right around the corner to end the 2010s. And it still feels like 10 years ago it was 1990s.
Right. Hopefully we'll have better hindsight next year, right?
Better? Oh, come on. You got any other dad jokes?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't have any go-to dad jokes? You just kind of manufacture them when they are appropriate.
That was my best one right now. And if anybody uses it, credit me, please.
Okay. Matt Rindy, AccuWeather meteorologist, are there any places in the United States that are getting particularly hit with anything? Because
well, if you want to talk about the cold, you know, the regime that's coming in next week, I did take a quick look at Grand Forks, North Dakota, and they are going to have highs below zero next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and the lows in the minus teens to minus 23 Tuesday night. So.
Oh, man.
Just remember, when you think it's that cold, it's colder somewhere else.
Yeah, because they had that storm over in like the East Coast, Boston area that would kind of surprise me that they were getting a lot of snow in that area just last couple of days, wasn't it?
Yeah, they it ended on Monday, and they amounted to about 7 inches total.
Wow.
Between the front end of the storm and the back side of the storm.
Yeah, it's something else. It's you never know. It goes to show you never can tell, they say.
So, yeah. We had that one pretty well predicted.
And that's about it. I mean, I feel like I'm expecting something. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for you to say, oh, but actually, but really there's no surprises in this forecast right now.
Yeah, not in December. It's there's always surprises. But yes, I don't think I see anything on the horizon. How's that?
Well, that's great. AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight on Overnight America.
I always enjoy it. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Matt Rindy's fun. I like him. All right, we only have one more segment left, and it's the weekend for us, at least for me. Not to brag or anything, but I'm looking forward to it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
Ugh.
They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
I'm just going to keep talking. I tell you what. Oh, man. I'm going to hold on to that. We're going to have to play that nearly every night until the 2020 election or until Joe Biden is no longer a candidate for the president of the United States. All right. Two other stories I want to get to real quick before we say goodnight. And two stories I said I'd talk about. One is from KSDK. They did a write-up on the Ameren, Illinois PSA they put together. And it's what you should do in a situation where your car veers off the road, you hit a power pole, and the power line falls on your car. Do you know what you do in a situation like that? Well, I got to be honest, I did not know all of this. And I thought it was informative. But whenever companies put PSAs together, they're always very cheesy. And you look at them and you're like, this is like, you make fun of them, right? You look at them, get a good laugh, and you never remember what they're about. You just remember that they were bad. I watched this and it wasn't bad. I was shocked. This may be the first time I've ever seen a public service announcement that was put together by a company actually that was watchable. But either way, I'm not going to play audio from it. I just want to give you the information. Let's say you, again, hit a power pole, a power line comes down, or something you suspect could be a power line, and you are still in the car. What do you do? So this is what they say. If your vehicle comes into contact with power lines, you should always presume the power lines are live, or the wires in general are live. Don't leave the vehicle. If anyone else comes up to the vehicle, warn them, hey, there's some power lines down. Stay away, because you don't want them to get shocked. Call 911 immediately and don't do anything else. Wait for the power company to come and make that a safe situation. Now, let's say your car starts to smoke or your car looks like it may be lighting on fire. So if you notice these things, you should jump out with both feet together while never touching both the car and the ground at the same time. It's a very important thing. You know how that circuit is continued. You know, you don't want to be the conduit for it. Is that the right word? You should get as far away as possible, but don't take normal steps. You should shuffle or bunny hop, meaning you want to keep both your feet on the ground at the same time. So the instructional videos online. Very, very interesting. All right, here's another quick little thing from USA Today. Top 10 most popular gifts everyone is buying this year. Oh. So if you're still looking for Christmas gifts, which I'm sure you haven't even started because you're slackers just like everyone else, here are some popular things. The most popular version of everyone's favorite multi-cooker, the Instant Pot Duo, is at its lowest price on Amazon, so people are buying that. Affordable robot vacuum cleaners, people are looking for those and buying those as well. Wireless earbuds. Okay, that you're going to lose. You're going to spend a lot of money on, and they're going to lose anyway. Gaming experiences for, like, the Nintendo Switch. That's pretty popular. Weighted blankets. People like them some weighted blankets now, don't they? That's one extra thing they put in there. DNA testing and other ways to relax. All things that they're trying to put together for you. All right. One last thing before we say goodnight. Kevin Kleen's got another story.
I was walking along the sidewalks of St. Charles Main Street, the red cobblestone shopping district, and I was thinking back as to how I was arrested with some friends years ago in high school. We'd had a keg party at a house that my friend was supposed to be watching for some neighbors out of town. The police rounded us up, and as my dad was driving me home from the police station, he said, as part of your punishment, I'm going to take you antiquing with me tomorrow in St. Charles. With that in mind, I wandered into an antique shop in St. Charles to remember my dad.
Would you like to take it and plug it in?
I sure would.
All right, so let's take it.
It's called Centuries Past Antiques at the corner of Jefferson and Main. You have to get in through the rear in sort of a basement area. It was really cluttered like the old days. The owner was showing a record player, a little tabletop plug-in record player to a man, and they got down on the floor and plugged it in.
There we go.
We could spray in there.
Oh, my God. Where's my volume?
The man told me that he had wandered in, but on this occasion, he wasn't looking for a record player.
Well, I'd never gone in here until today. Yeah. And I was trying to find bowling shoes, old bowling shoes.
What kind of bowling game do you have?
Well, I average around 150.
The owner told me that she wasn't looking to get into the antique business either. She wandered into it because her father had owned the shop.
You were saying when you were a little girl, your dad would take you to antique shows and you hated it. Did you ever think you'd be in this business?
Never in a million years.
But then in high school, she got interested in history and all things from the past. And one day at a garage sale,
I bought a World War II uniform. It was like $5 at the yard sale. And my mother said, oh, my God, do you know how much that's worth? And I said, no. And she said, I bet I can get you $100 for it at the show this weekend. And I said, oh, do it. And she did.
And so she had wandered into the business just as I had wandered into her shop to remember my dad. And the man looking for the record player had wandered in looking for bowling shoes. As for that man looking at the record player.
I'll have to go to the bank, though.
Okay.
Tell me what the price is and I'll get there.
We got $65 on it.
$65, and he said he was going to go to the bank, but I couldn't stick around to see if he actually came back and bought it. In the antique business, people wander in and out all the time for all sorts of reasons.
You'd like to know the total, right?
With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
That about does it for us here. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back again Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Take it easy this weekend. Enjoy the weather while you can.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.